Hi everyone, Dan Cassidy here. We are back now with the next installment of our Macro Monthly Podcast series with UBS Asset Management. Each month we do hear from top investment professionals from the UBS Asset Management multi-asset team. Joining us for today's conversation, glad to welcome back Evan Brown, Portfolio Manager and Head of Multi-Asset Strategy, as well as investment strategist Fatou Kanté. So with that, Fatou, let me pass it over to you to lead today's conversation with Evan. Welcome back.
So Evan, thanks again for coming on. The most frequent question that we've heard from clients recently is how can stocks be back at all-time highs with tariffs only just now starting to take effect in the economy? Can you provide some context for that?
Yeah, thanks, Fatou. Indeed, this is the question we get asked the most. And so we just wrote on it. We wrote our July Macro Monthly, came out earlier today. People can check it out if they haven't been sent to it. Just Googling UBS Macro Monthly. Title of this one is Can Markets Look Past the Worsening Economy? And our answer is yes. Well, they have been, and they'll continue to, in our view. I mean, the first thing I'd say is that it's well established that the economy is going to take a step down over the next couple of quarters. You know, as tariffs make their way through the economy, either via businesses passing through the tariffs to consumers and so that leading to higher inflation and lower real incomes, or companies absorbing it in their margins. But you know, markets, they don't just discount the next couple of quarters, right? They discount further. And I think here it's important to distinguish when we talk about the economy between the soft data and the hard data, which we've talked about on these podcasts. So the soft data is surveys, right? It's business and consumer confidence, and the hard data is real activity, the labor market, industrial production, all of that kind of stuff. And we saw soft data really falling quite hard at the beginning of the year with the tariff announcements, and the hard data actually holding up okay. And now we're seeing a convergence where the soft data is bouncing and the hard data is starting to come down. And so we looked historically, we said, okay, when there's been some kind of external shock or some kind of event that has led confidence to go down and the market to go down, how does the market trade at these inflection points between the soft data and the hard data? And what we see repeatedly in history is that as the soft data bottom out and rise, the market rises and continues to rise even as the hard data itself is going lower. So I think we are going to see weaker data over the next couple of months several months. And overall, you know, we'll have our volatility here and there. As long as the labor market, the data, you know, bend and don't break, and that's very much our view, then we're going to see equities, I think, continuing to look through here, and the market should be fine.
So if we see the slowdown you just discussed, what do you think investors have to look forward to in the next couple of months?
Yeah, so the slowdown we're seeing is setting the stage for a bounce into early next year. So we are likely to get rate cuts in the second half, probably two, maybe more, and so that, along with the dollar, which continues to weaken, that's, you know, broader easing of financial conditions, and that supports the economy with a lag, but, you know, starts providing a boost into 2026. And what also provides a boost into 2026 is the fiscal stimulus we're getting, which, as we speak, is the big beautiful bill is being discussed in the House of Representatives. You know, whether it's passed this week or later in the summer, we have high conviction it will get passed. And that stimulus, you know, those incremental tax cuts they really start to hit the economy in 2026. So we're having the pain of the tax hikes, the tariffs right now. And we're going to get, the good stuff, the tax cuts and the support to growth. That's really going to hit the economy in 2026. And then, the last thing is just as everyone can kind of gather, AI adoption is just broadening at a very brisk, within the corporate world. And I think that right tail, it's hard to quantify how big of an impact this is going to have on productivity and on corporate earnings. But I think we're going to see more and more of that AI adoption into year end and into 2026 and really start to see that being a tailwind for corporate earnings. So overall, soft spot here, but the market has plenty to look forward to.
And given, the wider distribution of outcomes right now, with the July 9th trade policy deadline fast approaching, we might see a reset of tariffs higher by the Trump administration, or he could surprise us in the opposite way. So how concerned should investors be about this?
Yeah, so we've got that deadline next week. And look, it's a risk event, and there's a very real possibility that the reset in tariffs across countries is going to be more than investors expect. I mean, look, I think there are going to be winners and losers. There's going to be some trade negotiations that have gone well and we'll be able to kind of stick to this 10% tariff baseline, but not much more than that. And then there's going to be others where you see a bit of a reset higher in tariffs. But I think a few things to keep in mind. The first is that the degree of variation in these scenarios is narrowed considerably. The Trump administration knows they can't go full Liberation Day and be throwing out crazy numbers. They've seen the market and economic effects. And so it's going to be more of a kind of piecemeal approach. The private sector has had time as well to be considering these scenarios and companies have been working through them. And so the shock value, I think, is much lower. And then the last thing I'd mention is just that we have seen repeatedly over the last several months that if Trump kind of steps too far such that he gets a severe market reaction, whether that be in the stock market or the bond market, or he's getting feedback from his advisors or just maybe even his own businesses that it's creating real risk for the economy, we've seen him willing to unilaterally back down. And so I think broadly the market is becoming increasingly desensitized to this. I think we may get a wobble next week with this, but see it more likely as a dip buying opportunity should we get that dip. And one thing to keep in mind is, no one likes tariffs. We don't like tariffs, but they are playing a role here in generating revenue, which is offsetting the incremental tax cuts that you're getting in this bill. And that is what's keeping treasury yields from spiking right now. That's a very important thing. So, it's a tax hike, these tariffs. It's uncomfortable, but I think again, the shock values come down and they are playing a role in keeping, the deficit from blowing out even further and keeping bond yields from spiking here.
Great. Thank you. So shifting our focus a bit across the waters here, there's been heightened tensions in the Middle East beginning at the start of the month, last month into the mid-month, I would say, and it's been at the top of mind for a lot of investors. So can you briefly discuss how you typically manage around tail risk stemming from geopolitical events?
Sure. I'd say the first thing is it's good to have strategically some things in the portfolio for the unexpected, right? So we continue to own gold strategically in our more moderate portfolios, in the MAPS, bonds too, right? Just even if you have an inflationary shock, often when there is that kind of shock, bonds rally, and that's what we saw in the immediate aftermath of Israel's strike on Iran. But we don't try to actively predict these events, and we also don't want to react to these events as they're playing out. I mean, one, there's a lot of hysteria in the market about how there might be a closing down. Iran might close down the Strait of Hormuz, and as it was going up towards 80, it was in the mid 60s, it was going up towards 80, and people were throwing out all kinds of higher numbers. And if you had really bought oil and energy going into that, you would have lost 20%, a rather swift resolution in this case. And so predicting how the is tricky. And most of the time, there's kind of a fading of that initial shock. I think in this particular scenario, we look forward in the Middle East and this ceasefire agreed, U.S., Israel, and Iran. We have confidence it's gonna hold. None of the actors are really incentivized to escalate. Iran is weak and isolated, and certainly would not survive the regime with a full-blown war with the U.S. Israel's the actor that might want to push Iran further, but they're actually limited. They have some constraints in what they can do to the U.S. And in fact, they were interceptors for missiles coming from Iran and needed the U.S. support, both on offense, but on defense as well. And then, the U.S., clearly Trump, he has no interest in this escalating. So we do think it sticks. And again, we're not trying to put too much in our portfolios to kind of tactically trade these things. We have gold in there, which we like for these kind of scenarios, but definitely not trying to make big bets on geopolitical outcomes, which are apparently very difficult to predict.
Thanks, Evan. Great insights. Appreciate your time today.
Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to visit ubs.com/studios to view the entire UBS Studios suite of podcast channels, along with our video offerings, such as UBS Trending. You can also follow us on Instagram for content highlights at UBS Trending. UBS Studios is part of the UBS Chief Investment Office within UBS Global Wealth Management. Visit ubs.com/CIO to view the latest research.
As a firm providing wealth management services to clients, UBS Financial Services, Inc. offers investment advisory services in its capacity as an SEC-registered investment advisor and brokerage services in its capacity as an SEC-registered broker-dealer. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. It is important that you understand the ways in which we conduct business and that you carefully read the agreement and disclosures that we provide to you about the products or services we offer. For more information, please review client relationship summary provided at ubs.com/relationship summary or ask your UBS financial advisor for a copy.